Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hey everybody, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. So first of all, before I go into what I have for y'all today, I would like to give a shout out to one of our biggest fans, Dr. Kolak. She's always commenting and telling us her thoughts on our episodes, and we just appreciate that so much.
Yeah, we love you, Dr. Kolak. That was really country. Sorry about that. She's going to unfriend me now.
Uh-oh. Don't do it. All right. So we'll just jump right in.
What is your case about? Tell me. Quick.
Well, this story, it has five victims. Though they are different stories and lives, they all have something in common.
Ooh.
We'll start out with the first one. Yeah. The first one, David Luaris, was 42, from Paris, California, and he went to live in Dallas, Texas. Huh. His family said that he started to fear for his life, and he felt like someone was after him, but he wouldn't tell them who was after him.
Huh.
So from what I understand from a report is that he came to Texas to hide. Luaris had a criminal history involving drugs and burglary. And authorities said that Luaris was known in the Hearst, Euless, Bedford area, and the Dallas area of Texas. He ended up staying at a motel called Mid-City Inn.
Huh.
So that's the first one. The second victim is Lauren Phillips. She was 34. She was a mother to two teenage boys, and at one point she had worked in home health and in extended care facilities. She struggled with mental health issues and addiction to methamphetamines. In an article with CBSDFW.com, Lauren's mother, Kathy, talks about her daughter. She says Lauren had been in and out of mental health and rehab facilities, but just could not get better. Her mother said that she had to show Lauren tough love. Lauren had called home telling her mom that she had missed her and wanted to come see her, but her mom told her, "Honey, I can't help you anymore." She tried everything she could do to help her daughter. Her family would go months without seeing her, and however, Lauren would call every few days to check in and tell her mom where she was. And Lauren's mother said she knows that a friend dropped her off at a Mid-City Inn motel. Huh. As she was looking for a place to stay, and Lauren befriended a man who was passing out flyers for a local church and talking about God. So that was the last known whereabouts for her.
Seems legit.
The third victim I have for you is Mary Cruz Reyes Mathis. She was 33. She was a sister and a mother to a young boy. She was adopted when she was 9. At one point, she left her husband and was living on her own. She struggled on and off with drug addiction, and she would go missing, but her parents would always hear from her. She would call home to let them know where she was staying, and the last place they knew that where she was the Mid-City Inn.
Oh.
The fourth victim is Mark Jewell. He was 61. Sadly, the only thing that I was able to find about Mark is that he died in a house fire, and the house was shared by him and a roommate. And the fifth victim is Tanya Begay. She was 42, a mother of 2, and she was close to her parents and frequently stayed in contact with her family. She was an American Indian female who had been reported missing. She was traveling from Arizona to New Mexico. She vanished in 2017 after taking a trip with her boyfriend, who family says was abusive to her. So what is the thing that all five of these souls have in common? They all knew the same man. For David, Mary Cruz, and Lauren, the man was an acquaintance at a motel that they were staying at. For Mark, the man was his roommate. And for Tanya, the man was her boyfriend. Mm. The man's name is Jason Allen Thornburg. So reading off of a warrant pertaining to this case, it says, on September 22nd of 21, at approximately 6:17 a.m., Fort Worth Fire Department was called about a fire in a dumpster located at 3120 Bonnie Drive. When the firefighters arrived on scene and put out the fire, they discovered human remains in the dumpster. The remains had been mutilated into multiple pieces.
Oh, God.
Mm. Officers J. Minter and A. Aguilita, or Aguileta, I'm sorry, and homicide detective M. Barron arrived on scene. Multiple assisting homicide detectives and digital forensics units were called in to assist. Surveillance videos from the surrounding area were obtained. Medical investigators Amy Renfro and Steve White processed the remains from the dumpster and were able to determine that there were at least 3 bodies.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Poor Jesus.
Detective says this was unlike anything they had ever seen in their career.
I bet.
There was not much else found in the dumpster besides the human remains due to the dumpster recently being emptied. The medical examiner's office told Detective Barron that not all of the remains were accounted for, but the remains appeared to belong to an adult male, a young adult or teenage female, and a possible child of unknown sex.
Oh, Lord.
But I'll point out here that there was not a child involved. I'm assuming they thought that it was a small child because of the small body parts that were cut up. It was determined that their deaths were caused by homicidal violence.
Yeah, I'd say. They didn't do that to themselves.
Yeah. So a portion of a large tattoo was visible on the section of a back that was determined.
Wow.
Yeah, that was determined to be the letters U-E-R-A-S in large print. Detectives were able to use a partial name search to locate a possible last name of Luaris and located several Facebook pages for David Luaris.
Wow, they could get that from a burnt piece of body.
Yeah, so funny you should say that. I thought that too. I recently listened to an episode of Body Bags. Like I told you, I promised I would listen to Body Bags.
Yes.
And he talked about how if a body is burned, you can scrape away the burnt flesh. And if there's a tattoo, you can see the tattoo on layers of skin underneath.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. But, like, that's amazing, isn't it? Because obviously the killer's like, oh, no need to, like, hide the name of this person.
Right. I'm burning all the evidence. I'm burning their body. Exactly. They'll never know.
Got him.
Yeah, but they quickly found it was David Luares, a Hispanic male born October 29th of 78. Luares had a photo of his back and shoulder tattoos on one of his accounts that exactly matched the tattoo found on the remains.
Nice.
And at that time, the other two bodies were still in process of being identified. Surveillance from across the street from the dumpster showed a dark-colored SUV pull up and park next to the dumpster at around 10:50 p.m. on September 21st of 21. A male got out of the driver's seat and made several trips from the back of the SUV to the dumpster, carrying containers and dumping them into the dumpster. It only took a few minutes and the SUV left. At about 12:50 a.m. on September 22nd, the SUV shows back up at the dumpster. The driver gets out and continues to dump more containers into the dumpster. He turned the vehicle around and got back out and lit the dumpster on fire. The SUV then drove away, going southbound. There were several CCTV videos that showed the SUV traveling back and forth to the dumpster, and they determined that the SUV was a black Jeep Cherokee that was made between the years of 2005 and 2010. It had chrome trim, chrome rims, and a roof rack. So they had specifics to look for.
Yeah.
On September 27th of 21, Detective Kay Sullivan was reviewing a list of registered black Jeep Cherokees ranging from years 2005 to 2010 in Tarrant County and found a 2008 black Jeep Cherokee with chrome rims registered to Jason Allen Thornburg. He was an American Indian born on August 27th of 1980. Detectives realized that they had recently investigated Jason Thornburg about the suspicious death of his roommate.
So
backtracking a little bit, on May 21st of 21, Mark Jewell, he died in a gas explosion at the home that he and Jason Thornburg were renting.
Jeez.
The house exploded shortly after Jason left for work that day.
Exploded? Like, yes. Exploded.
Exploded. And due to the explosion, the medical examiner could not determine the manner of death. So the medical examiner, they basically determined that Mark had died from the explosion.
Explosion?
Yeah, like,
like, this is blowing my mind.
No pun intended.
How did he make the house explode?
Okay, we will find out in just a little bit.
Okay. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, keep listening. I will tell you. Okay, Detective Sullivan, he found out that the Jeep had a GPS tracker on it, and he was given the coordinates to a place in Arlington where the Jeep was last pinged. Detective Sullivan. Detective Sullivan went. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get myself together.
Pull it together, Lena.
Detective Sullivan went to that location and found the Jeep that was seen in the video surveillance. Jason Thornburg's Jeep's location history was repeatedly shown at 1451 West Euless Boulevard in Euless, Texas, which is the address for drumroll, the Mid-City Inn.
Oh, wow.
Detective P. Vega went to the Mid-City Inn and verified that Jason Thornburg was registered there as an occupant of room 113. He had been there since July 28th of 21. Detective Vega was able to review the Mid-City Inn's video surveillance, which showed Jason Thornburg on September 21st taking several large containers from room 113 and putting them in the back of his Jeep Cherokee.
Oh.
Thornburg is seen wearing a full body suit, much like the one you would wear while doing drywall or a painting job, or maybe like a hazmat cleaning suit.
What? Okay, way to be like clandestine. Yeah.
I mean, he was a electrician apprentice, so I don't know if that was too out of the ordinary for people seeing him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of construction work. I don't know if it's something that he normally wore, but I don't know if anybody saw him or if this was at 10:20 at night. So,
okay.
He was seen leaving the motel in his Jeep at 10:24 p.m. He returns and loads another load of containers into his Jeep and leaves the motel again at 12:26 a.m. on September 22nd. He returns back at the motel again at 1:28 a.m. And he's seen taking containers from the back of his Jeep into his motel room. So now the emptied containers are going back into the motel room.
Gross. I mean, is he going to reuse those for scrapbooking stuff? Or, I mean, what are you going to reuse those containers for when you've had body parts in them?
He may have plans to use them for more bodies later on. I don't.
Okay. Okay, Lena. I get where you're going with this.
Yeah. I'm not telling you there are more that's going into the containers, but that may have been his plan. So all of these times in the CCTV videos, they all coincide with the distance of the dumpster from the motel and the timestamps from the CCTV on the location of the dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
So he's caught.
Caught.
Okay. So Detective Vega, he spoke to a motel resident from the room above 113 and was told that he had seen another male that had been staying in 113 with Thornburg the last two or three days. When talking to the news outside of the motel, the neighbor reported that he had asked Thornburg about the horrible odor that he kept smelling.
Oh.
Thornburg said, "Oh, I think somebody just peed under the stairs."
Yeah.
And the neighbor was like, "No, I don't think that's it."
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a smell of pee.
Mm-mm. So Detective Vega showed a picture of David Luaris to the neighbor, and he confirmed that it was David that had been staying with Thornburg. The neighbor also said that he had seen a woman with reddish blonde hair come and go from 113, but he never saw a child.
Oh, because they still thought it was a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Still looking for a child.
So on September 27th, around 6 p.m., Detectives Barron, Sullivan, and Anderson located Jason Thornburg in Arlington, where he was working, and he agreed to go to the police station and speak to the detectives.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So the affidavit states that during the interview, Thornburg told them that he had an in-depth knowledge of the Bible and believed that he was being called to commit sacrifices.
Oh.
He says that David showed up at the motel 5 days before the dumpster fire, and he stayed with him in his hotel room. Thornburg told them that he had believed that David needed to be sacrificed, and he cut his throat and dismembered his body in the bathtub. About 2 days later, he says Mary Cruz Reyes Mathis showed up at his room, and he said she was a very small Hispanic female And he sacrificed her by cutting her throat and dismembering her as well.
Jeez.
2 days after that, another female that he knew by Lauren Phillips showed up at his room. He says he tried to cut her throat, but ended up having to strangle her. He dismembered her and stored each of them in the Rubbermaid containers.
God almighty. Oh.
He says he used a Milwaukee brand straight blade knife to dismember their bodies. During a search of his room, a box for that specific kind of knife was found. Detectives asked Thornburg if he had anything to do with the killing of his roommate, Mark Jewell, from the fire in May that year. And he confessed, telling them that he had also cut Mark's throat and then uncapped natural gas line and lit a candle in the room. Lord. And that is how the house exploded.
Oh, Lord. Exploded.
When asked if there were any other sacrifices, he told them that he sacrificed his girlfriend, Tanya Begay, in Arizona. So in March, he was indicted on first-degree murder, assault with intent to commit murder, and assault resulting in serious bodily injury in regards to Begay. However, her body has still not been found, so I guess he has not told.
Oh, he wouldn't say?
I looked at several different reports, and I haven't found anywhere. It doesn't say that he's refusing to give her whereabouts, or if he's told them, it doesn't say, but the family...
Because it was more of like, oh, I did it in another state, like, and it was kind of afterthought.
I mean,
I wonder if
I just don't know why
Arizona's...
he wouldn't. He openly confessed, like he's not trying to hide anything from any of these sacrifices.
I mean, he's out here doing the Lord's work. Why not?
Jesus,
you know.
And just to let y'all know, this is not the Lord's work. Like, God would not tell anybody just to go. That was back in the Old Testament. Okay, we're living in the New Testament. God would not ever tell anybody to do that.
Good defense strategy, though.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm being sarcastic if you don't know.
But yeah, just like 5 or 6 days ago, I looked at Tanya Begay's sister's Facebook page, and she's still posting on Facebook like, Jason, where is our sister? You know, sad.
Interesting. That is so interesting why he won't, or why that information is not known.
Right. I mean, so just in March he was indicted of this year. So I don't know if there's going to be a trial. I mean, he's confessed and everything, but... in May of this year, Tarrant County Criminal District Attorney Sharon Wilson, she announced that it's only fitting that we seek the death penalty in this case.
Yeah.
In her press release, she states that the proper paperwork to do so has now been filed, and she added, the death penalty is reserved for the worst of the worst criminals.
Yeah. That's him.
So I just hope and pray that he does admit where her body is. Tell us so that, I mean, before he is killed in prison, you know.
Put to death. Yeah,
put to death. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, Thornburg currently remains jailed on a $1.2 million bond. Kathy, Lauren's mother, she says she is relieved that her daughter is not suffering anymore, and she is in a better place. I mean, she suffered so long with drugs.
Yeah. And
A friend who attended Mark Jewell's funeral in May told reporters that Thornburg spoke at the funeral.
What?
Jason Thornburg spoke at Mark Jewell's funeral, like, and he got up there acting all tore up from what this friend said. And so the friend said that he, quote, I befriended him and told him there had to have been a reason he wasn't there at the house that day when it caught on fire. He said,
yeah, I know the reason.
Yeah.
Because he walked out of the house.
Yeah. He says, I prayed with him, and now I just feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
That's so sad to manipulate people that way. But obviously, he had no conscience.
Right.
Melissa, Tanya's friend, told 12 News, I just knew my friend was gone forever. She was an amazing woman and loved her kids. Melissa had never met Thornburg, but knew something was off about the relationship. Melissa said Tanya wasn't herself the last time they spoke, which was about a month before Tanya vanished in 2017. Melissa could hear in Tanya's voice that she wasn't safe.
Wow.
Sergeant Joe Loffman on a news report says, I can't even go into the psyche of someone who's able to do this.
Yeah.
Well, no, we can't. This goes beyond the person and their psyche. I mean, people have to be possessed by Satan to do something like this.
That is, and just like, okay, killing someone, but then to dismember their body.
Right.
Like, disrespect their body after they're dead. That is a whole nother level.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's a very sad story. It's a very sad thing. But I do pray for the families involved for peace as they, as they come to a conclusion in this case. Like I said, this was in May that they said that they were going to shoot for the death penalty. So, I don't know how long we'll have to wait for the conclusion, but
yeah. So they ended up figuring out that it wasn't a child because he told them it was a woman?
Correct.
Okay.
And I don't know if they did any further investigation with the bones or with the remains, but nothing else was said about how they came to the conclusion. But I mean, he quickly confessed, and he told them who these people were.
Can you imagine how long that would have taken to process?
Oh, I know.
The body parts.
I know. But I mean the detectives, I wish, that was quick work by the detectives. Look, you know,
I don't want to say lucky because, you know, everything we do these days is you can track it. I mean,
right.
So yeah, lucky kind of, because what if he had gone down an alley or to a dumpster that didn't have CCTV.
Right, right.
You know, what if there wasn't an eyewitness that said, oh yeah, I saw a black Jeep.
Yeah.
You know, with the rims and the chrome. I mean,
but and even the tattoo, like to get this tattoo, they had one letter missing and then they were able to go through Facebook. I mean, of course they did say that Lou Aris was known in that area. Because of his criminal charges and stuff, or history. But yeah, it's just amazing how all the pieces just came together. And then he just like, yeah, I did it. I sacrificed their bodies. What?
Can you imagine? Like, that must have been wild to them to get him in that room and him be like, oh yeah, I was just out there doing the Lord's work.
Right.
I'm supposed to sacrifice people. Mm. Like, what if he was like, no, I have no idea.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what kind of turn this might have taken. Because now they have him. I mean, he's confessed to it.
Right.
All this.
I mean, they have him on video. I mean,
sure.
I don't know.
I mean, can you see his face on the video, though?
I don't know. I didn't see any of the videos. I didn't even look. I meant to look them up just to kind of see for myself, but I didn't make time to do that. But I might have to do that now.
Yeah. Wow. That is a wild one. I haven't heard of that.
I've not heard
of this case.
So in 2021, so just a year ago, in September, so we're just a month shy of a year. And I mean, I do remember the news reports coming out, bodies or remains found in a burning dumpster.
Gosh.
I do remember that, but I don't really watch the news, so I never followed up with it. And me researching it was learning it for the first time myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So is he taking, did you say he was taking a plea or are they going to go to trial?
Well, and I couldn't find that either. I'm like, okay, when's the trial date? Are we going to trial? And the last thing was in May that they're seeking the death penalty. So I don't know if that's like...
So, yeah. So I guess that would be going to trial because he's not gonna plea and then to agree to be put to death.
Yeah, do exactly.
People do that? I mean, right. I'm like, I don't know anything about...
Make that make sense.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'll take that deal.
Yeah.
We're going to put death on the table. You know what? I'll take that deal.
Yeah. It's my time to go. God wants me with him.
Yeah. Lord. Exactly.
Anyway, so yeah, this was a short story today. Very sad.
Well, lots of fire and explosions where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, unless he asks God for forgiveness. Well.
I think his theology is a little off, yeah. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure which God he's talking about, but...
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, right, Lena. Well. That was, slit throats. I don't like it. I don't like...
Yeah.
Slitting of the throat. I pray to God if I'm ever murdered, they'll just shoot me in the head. Like, please don't slit my throat.
Yeah,
there's just something that's about it.
Slow and painful.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm grabbing my throat right now. Cause
I'm yeah. Like... Oh, I'm sorry if I made you anxious.
No,
in this
I just.
Story.
Oh, like, and stabbing too, like sharp force injuries. I think those just really freak me out. Not freak me out, but they fill me with pain. Like just listening to it.
Because you can think of, just imagine what the pain is like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not imagine. Let's just go ahead and end this right here. Okay.
Maybe it's because I have like a paper cut on my hand, and it's been causing me grief for the past several days.
Put some Neosporin on it.
I can only imagine. Ooh, Lena, I need a cleanse after that one.
Yeah, go read your Bible.
Go and get on my knees and pray for this guy.
So yeah, let's do this again sometime.
This is great. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah.
I love it.
Let's walk away slowly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Bye.
Want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.